Scripture reading this evening will come from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 3. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you.
Good evening. How are y'all doing? Blessed. Good job. Good to see you. Glad you're here with us this evening. If you are visiting, we're really glad you've come our way. Let us get to tell you that in person if you can wait a bit and let us get to know you. But we're glad all of you are here. Hope you have enjoyed this spring day. Finally, get a spring day. So, hopefully we'll have many more like today. First of all, before we get into the lesson, I want to thank Adam Maurer. Adam is back there in the sound booth, and he's kind of our utility guy. When he comes and he sees that there's nobody back there to do the audio and the slides, he is always so good about helping out. But I say that also because we have made an appeal for others to let us know that you would be willing to help out. And if you think you could do that, we'll give you the training you need. It's not real complicated. So if you would be willing to do that, talk to Adam, talk to me. But we do need other people on that list. So if you would help out, that would allow Adam to spend more family time in worship and not have to go to bat for us as often as he does. So take that into consideration, and please let us hear from you if you think you can do that. All right, let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible. If you have a device with a Bible app, go ahead and get that going, and we're going to get into it here very shortly. But first of all, let me ask you if you know anything about what I'm talking about, and probably maybe one or two might. And here's the designation, ICD-9-CM. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Those people are probably not here tonight. ICD-9-CM, what it stands for is International Classification of Diseases, 9th Revision, Clinical Modification. Do you know what I'm talking about yet? Say what? Oh, 10. I'm already outdated. Well, most of us don't know a thing about it, but we depend on it, don't we? Because this is how our medical insurance is billed by the doctor's office. There is a code that must be entered to tell what condition we're being treated for. And if that code is not precise, guess what? It gets sent back. And we may or may not ever get that claim paid. And those who are in medical billing and coding, I know it's a nightmare for them trying to read what that code is and so forth. But the point is, it has to be precise. And that's not the only area of life, is it, where precision is important? For example, banking. Do we care whether the bank is precise with our money or not? Absolutely, we care about it, and they care about whether we are precise with what we think we have in the bank. And mailing addresses, have you ever had a letter or a card returned because you had put the wrong number, the post office box number, or the street address? It was a little off. I mean, hey, it's real close. That's not good enough. It has to be the one, or it will not get delivered to the person you want it to go to. Well, what about religion? What about approaching God? And here it seems our minds change, or at least that of many people. And we say, well, you know, with God, it really doesn't matter that we are that close, that we are that precise, because after all, God is just concerned with our heart. And as long as we have good intentions, that's good enough. I mean, how many times have we heard people say things like that? But tonight we want to examine that very idea. Is that indeed the case? That with God, it really doesn't matter whether we aim for precision or, you know, just in the vicinity. That's good enough. And what we're going to find is that the idea of diligently obeying God is very much underscored in the Bible. It is emphasized over and over and over again. So let's look into the Word of God. Let's examine this question. Is it good enough that we get close, or should our aim always be for precision? Now, first of all, we're going to talk about how the promises to Israel hinged on diligent obedience. Promises that God made to Israel hinged on precision, on diligent obedience. And when I use that word hinge, I think you know the image that I have in mind. It's like the hinges of on a door. They will tell which way the door opens or whether it opens or not. The hinge is very important. Well, in the same way, God made promises to Israel. Now, were they conditional? Did God put any conditions on them? And of course, we know He did. And I want you to go with me now to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 15. If you want to know a quick way to find Zechariah, go to Matthew chapter 1 and back up two books. That's the quick way to get there. It is the next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 15. And we studied this last quarter on Wednesday nights, and many of you were in that class. And in this passage, God is promising the people of Judah, who have recently returned from exile, things are going to be okay. It may look like you're never going to get the temple built. The temple will be rebuilt. There will be a ruler on the throne, and the promises that I've made will be fulfilled. But listen to what he says in Zechariah 6 and verse 15. Those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now look at that word if near the end of that verse. That's the hinge. That is what makes the promises of God come to pass. Because God says, I will do these amazing things for you, but you have your part to do. And what is that, Lord? If we diligently seek the Lord our God. If we diligently obey the Lord our God. And that's important to know. In fact, talking about this idea, Coy Roper, in his commentary on Zechariah and the Truth for Today series, makes this observation. He said, the comfort of knowing that Joshua the high priest served with God's approval and that the temple would be rebuilt was joined with an exhortation. The people must completely obey God if they wanted to receive His promised blessings. And that's what we're trying to say is, yes, God will do His part, but we have a part to play as well. And God said that. Here's another comment that I think is interesting. Mark Boda, in the NIV application commentary on Zechariah 6, says that the Hebrew construction, and he's talking there about the idea of diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, the Hebrew construction puts great stress on the act of obedience. In fact, it looks almost as if he's saying, obey, obey the voice of the Lord your God. But the idea is you really concentrate on it. It's not something passive or if I get around to it. No, this is something I'm going to do. It is that important. In fact, if you'll turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 and 2, you're going to see another statement where the same Hebrew phrase is found and the similar idea. Now, this goes way before in time when God was about to lead them into the promised land. In Zechariah, we're looking at after the exile. In Deuteronomy, it's before they go into the promised land. God tells them the same thing, essentially. Listen to what he says. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. And if you faithfully obey, there's that same Hebrew construction. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And I like the way he says it there. These blessings will come upon us and they will overtake us. You can't outrun the blessings of God if you wanted to. I don't know why you'd want to, but you will not be able to outrun the blessings of God if you obey. And there again, you see the idea is so clearly stated. Go two chapters further to Deuteronomy 30, the passage that Joe read for us a bit earlier, and listen again to what God says there. He had warned them against departing from the will of God, and what would happen if they did, they would be taken away to other nations. And that's what happened with the Babylonian exile. But he says in Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 1, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. Now notice, they are now in exile. And they happen to remember, you know what? God warned us against this, and we didn't listen. And so he says, when you call to mind all of these things, verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. He will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. And even though he doesn't use that same Greek phrase, look at what he does say. You obey God with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, again, this is what we want. We're driving toward this. We are ambitious to obey the Lord our God. We're not going to take chances. We're going to do exactly what he has said. And when you think about what God has done for his people, whether it be bringing them into the promised land or bringing them out of exile back to their promised land, you have to say, boy, the grace of God is amazing. The grace of God is amazing. God was under no obligation to do any of that. And for him to say, here's what I want you to do, since I'm going to do this for you, is that too much to ask? If God is going to do all that for us, is it too much for him to ask us to do commands that are actually good for us anyway? But there were flawed responses to God's demand, as we know. Let me give you a couple of quick examples of that. Go now to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And here we have King Saul. The people had demanded a king. God relented, said, okay. And Saul is now on the throne. God gives the king a command to go and destroy the nation of the Amalekites. And he's pretty clear when you look in the verses in the early part of the chapter, utterly destroy them. Leave no one living. Don't leave any livestock. Destroy. Well, Saul went, and the army of Israel did overcome the Amalekites, but they didn't completely obey God. They allowed the king of the Amalekites to live. They brought some of the finest livestock back with them, and God told Samuel the prophet, go tell him he's failed me. Listen to what we find in 1 Samuel 15. Now, these are the words of Saul, verse 13. 1 Samuel 15, verse 13. Listen to what Saul says. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And immediately Samuel says, then what are these, you know, sounds of animals that I'm hearing? Why have you brought the king of Amalek back? In other words, you have not obeyed the Lord. And then go down to verse 20. And again, Saul still protests this. Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me,
I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. I've devoted the Amalekites to destruction. And then he blames the rest of it on the people, kind of like Adam. Well, it's that woman you gave me, Lord. That's the direction he's going. He's trying to say, I obeyed you, Lord. But it doesn't wash because he hadn't. He obeyed some of what God said, but not everything. And so here is what Samuel says in verse 22, and this remains a major principle to guide us today. Verse 22, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. In other words, God doesn't want your sacrifices if you're not willing to listen to him and to obey him. And yet there are, it's always been a principle with people, and even today there will be those that will say, well, I'm going to go and, you know, take communion today, and I'm going to go put money in the collection basket, and I'll sit there during the sermon. I'll do all of that, but yet when they get out, they're not living the life that God has commanded. And it didn't work with Saul. It won't work with us, as we're going to see. One other passage in this, which showed the flawed response, Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, verse 13. This has long been a passage that, for a long time, it puzzled me. What is this all about? I think I understand what it's saying now. It's characterizing the way Israel reacted to the word of God, many of them in Israel, not all of them. Isaiah 28 and verse 13, and the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And what Isaiah seems to be doing there is saying, that's how you receive the word of God. Man, how long is this going to go? You know, precept upon precept, line upon line. Let's get this over with. We've got life to live. And the result of it is that they fall backward, they are broken, snared, and taken. In other words, it was people that didn't want to hear all of that. They were not being careful, diligent to hear the word of God and then to do it. Now, the message in these passages that we've looked at thus far should be very clear, and that is God expects careful and diligent obedience to his word. And those who are careless or unconcerned, they're taking a major chance. They're taking a major chance with God. So now the question is, must Christians be diligent in obedience? Now we're talking about us. We've seen what happened in the past. What about us today? And the question becomes, which do we choose, the letter or the spirit? And many times, I have heard this in the past, somebody will say, well, you know, I don't really keep the letter of the law, but I keep the spirit of the law. They may be talking about, you know, running a red light, or they may be talking about breaking the speed limit or something like that. But, you know, I keep the spirit of the law, I just don't keep the letter of the law. And it's especially tragic when they use that in relation to God's word. You know, you don't have to be so picky, so precision-oriented, do you not? Let's look. Let's find out. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he condemned them. And listen to what he says in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 23. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin. And by the way, if you're not familiar, I suspect you are, but in case you're not, mint and dill and cumin, those are herbs. And they're small leaves that you would pick out of your herb garden, and you'd say, well, those are just tiny things. But to the Pharisees, that was important. And they would make sure that they counted out the number of leaves they had picked off of their herbs, and then they would make sure that 10% of them went to the temple, and people might say, whoa, that's picky. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done," now get this, "without neglecting the others." With Jesus, it's not either or. It's making sure that we hear all of the Word of God. And then he goes on in verse 24 and says, "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." The point is, if God said it, yeah, we ought to be concerned with it. And if it means counting out tiny leaves, well, yeah, that's what we ought to be doing. But let's not overlook the weightier matters of the law and the process. And because I've taken communion and because I put some money in the collection basket as it went around, that does not excuse me from treating other people with fairness and justice and kindness and acting like Christ in my everyday life. I don't get a pass just because I did some things in church. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 through 6. Paul actually talks about the spirit and the letter, and I've heard this passage abused so many times. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, Paul says this, and let's just read it and then we'll talk about what he meant by that. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And again, I've heard people say, well, that means we don't have to be concerned about these letters, you know, these words that we have on pages in a book. It's more about being led by the Spirit and doing what the Spirit tells us. You know what? The Spirit has used letters on pages to communicate God's will to us. Paul's not talking about, you know, not being picky, just kind of getting it right. He's contrasting the law of Moses, that is the letter, with the Spirit, which means the Christian life. The Christian life is what gives us life today, not the old law of Moses. That's what he was talking about. And for us to use a passage like that to excuse obedience, that's just an abuse of the Word of God. Well, let's look at this idea. Now, what is obedience? Is it still important today? It was in the Old Covenant. We know that. We've looked at those passages. Go to Romans chapter 1. We'll spend a little bit of time now in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Listen to what Paul says at the beginning of this letter. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul said, "Through whom?" And I'm picking up in the middle of a sentence, I know, but we're going to get the main idea that we're looking at here. "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship." Why, Paul? Why did God give you grace? Why did he give you this office of being an apostle? To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. To bring about the obedience of faith. That's the English Standard Version. And I realize other translations have dealt with it differently. The NIV, for example, says to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. I like that too. I think that's a good translation. It again stresses the idea that faith alone is not enough. We have to have obedience in addition to our faith. And then you go to the end of the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, look at verses 25 and 26, right at the very end of this book. Here again, Paul uses those same words, at least in the English Standard Version. He says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations." Why? Why was it made known? According to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. And in the English Standard Version, it's the same as in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Bookends. He begins the book, he ends the book with the same idea. And again, the NIV is not very different. In Romans 16, verse 26, so that all nations might believe and obey him. So again, it's the idea of obedience. It's very important. Paul said, that's why I received my apostleship. It's why God wanted the mystery to be made known so that they would have faith, but not just have faith, obey as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. We say that we are people that imitate Christ. Well, let's look at Christ for a moment. And again, through the eyes of Paul in this letter, Romans 5, verse 19, where he says, for as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. He's obviously talking about Adam. Adam brought sin into this world. It kind of opened Pandora's box, and now we're all paying the price. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. And we know what that means. It means Christ had to die for our sins. But he had to obey completely. He had to be pure as a lamb that was offered at Passover. No blemish. And had Jesus sinned in any way, we would have no atonement. And we appreciate that. Well, if that's the one we imitate, should that not be our attitude as well? That we are going to follow God in everything, and that means we're going to study his word very carefully. In fact, the Hebrew writer talks about this as well in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, where he says, although he, talking about Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Obedience was important to Jesus. And all those who follow him should also say, it's important for me. I need to obey God as well. And then this final statement on this point, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. And again, when you look at this, how can you not know obedience is very important? 1 Peter 1 verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And while many may say, well, you're just teaching that people can work their way to heaven. Absolutely not. We are responding to the call of God. The God that we claim we believe, and if we hear him call and tell us, you need to do this, you need to stop doing that, if we hear him say those things and don't do them, do we believe him? Do we trust him? Obedience is part of our salvation. The Bible is so clear about that. But again, that brings up the question, what do we obey? God wants us to diligently obey what? What do we obey? Again, that's why we keep coming back to the Bible, the Word of God. He has been clear in showing us the things that we need. But if we don't read it, we won't know it, and we can't obey it. We got to stay in the book. When Jesus was tempted, you know how he responded to that first temptation. You're hungry, Jesus? Tell these stones to be turned into bread. And he could have done it. Jesus could have done it. But instead he said in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We say, yeah, that's right. Jesus, right on, Jesus. Do we have that attitude that we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God? And so just like Zechariah said, the blessings of God hinge on diligently obeying God. It's no different today. Not any different at all. Now, the grace of God, of course, is there. And I'm thankful for that because I'm not going to be perfect in my obedience, not because I'm not trying to be perfect, but because I'm not perfect. And the grace of God will cover me if I am giving it my best. But that doesn't excuse me from giving my best. Are you giving your best? Do you need to become a Christian? Tonight we have the water ready. We'd love to assist you in obeying the gospel command to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, just as Peter said in Acts 2:38. We'd love to help you. And if you've done that, have you been faithful as a follower of Christ, or have you not obeyed in one respect or another, and now you need to repent and ask for forgiveness? We'd love to help you with that as well. Whatever your need, come as we stand and sing.